Thank you for your presence tonight. I got two verses of scripture I want to read. Then I'm going to try to bring something else out, as I said this morning. But it says right here in Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 24, it says, "A man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother." And in Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 17, it says, "A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversities." I want to look at that word friends and friendly tonight just for a second. But as I was mentioning this morning, I know that this year is marking the 50th year of this church, Faith Baptist Church, being established. Now, within that mentioning, I've already talked to some preachers, and I know I've got three that's already is lined up to come in June the 7th. Through that Wednesday, I know, if not, maybe all week. And it's going to be, we'll have one main preacher at night, but there's going to be another preacher that's going to be preaching also. There's going to be two preachers preaching every night. And if we can, maybe one day during the day, we may have a service in the morning, maybe towards the last of the week. And I know that this is going to be the first year for us having it. And I've already heard some people say, well, it says, you know, we just don't have any money. You just don't have any money to do anything like that. Well, we may not have the funds. We may not have the income to do that. But I know someone that has it. Amen. And I believe within my heart that the Lord is going to send somebody our way, and he's going to burden their hearts down to help us with it. And even one of the preachers is going to be preaching every night. He told me not to worry about it. Don't worry about him. We're just there to get something going, get something established in the area. And he's agreed. And I've also agreed that, you know, I'm not going to let the preachers go to where they won't get a little something, but they may not get as much as maybe one preacher would get if he's preaching all week, like during a revival. But we will take care of them. We won't be able to maybe put them up in a motel room or nothing like that. I would love to be able to be at the point one day that to where we could have enough funds coming in to where we could take and have maybe the sleep in or the comfort or the somewhere to where they could go and they could be able to rest. And I've talked to different preachers about it. I've really prayed about it in the last year. And I've talked to several preachers about it. And the first thing that they always ask me says, what got you to this point that this is what you think you need to do? I said, well, the Lord burdened my heart down about it. I've always loved preachers. I've always loved churches. And I've always loved people since I've been saved. Now, I know that we need to do something within the community. And I'm not here just to maybe build this church, but I'm here to build up the kingdom of God. We should not worry about this church and no other church. We should worry about the kingdom of God because that's where we all spend eternity at. We're going to spend eternity with God the Father. And that's the one that we need to worry about. We need to worry about the ones now that's not going to make it. Now, I'm going to ask you tonight, if it's what y'all would like for us to do, I would love for it to do it. We're going to trust the Lord in it. And we're going to do it by faith. Like the name on the church is faith. That is the cornerstone of this building. That's the cornerstone of this church and should be the cornerstone of each one of our life is the word faith. And if it is, and if we grab a hold of that word faith, and we pray to God every day, Lord, just give me a little more faith today than I had yesterday. Then when we get to the next day, say, Lord, just give me a little more faith than what I had yesterday. Give me a little more faith than what I had yesterday. And we can do things that we never thought that we could ever do. Which we can't do it anyhow, but the only thing that we can do is provide the vessel for His work. That's not the only thing that I want to do this year, but that is, I believe, the one that I would love to try to get done this year. And from this year forward, in June the 7th, the week of the June the 7th of every year will be set aside for that week to have Jubilee. Because it's something special about Jubilee. It's something special about Jubilee time. And that is when people can gather together and they can build up on what they have accomplished in the last 50 years. No doubt that this church right here has been through some ups and been through some downs in the last 50 years. You've had some good times and you've had some times that you've had to weep. But with the two that we're speaking about, the good times and then the downtime where we're weak and we're weeping, but the good times will always surpass the bad times. Because that's what we can go back and we can reflect upon all the good times that you have had. And I can go back over the last 11 months since I've been here and the good times that I've had here. Now, last September, and I'm not saying it just because this is the church where I pastor, and I'm preaching to the people here at Faith. I'm just not saying, I have told this to many people, and I've told it to a whole lot of preachers. I said, this past September, I believe, unless I have overlooked something, in my last 34 and a half years of being saved and been going to revival meetings, this past September was the greatest of them all. I felt a tug from God. And I felt like that we had what you call old time fashion revival. And not only do I feel like that we had it, but I've heard other people also said that they've had it also when they came and they visited and they've seen things happen that they didn't think would happen. Not in a shorter time. See, we was the kicking off point of some of the things that's been happening in some of the other churches. And I'm not jealous one bit. I'm not jealous one bit. I'm thankful of the people that's been saved through that revival. And what they went through there and experiencing an old time Holy Ghost sent revival. It wasn't just a series of meetings. It was a revival, an old fashioned revival. I believe that. If you didn't feel it, it's your fault. I felt it. I felt it even after I talked to Brother Paul Sisk. Friday afternoon, he called, talked to him. And he told me, he said, you tell it all the people down to church that I love you and I love them. And he asked me, he said, how are you doing and how's your wife doing? I said, I'm doing all right. I said, Brother Paul, we didn't have no series of meetings. We had an old-fashioned Holy Ghost revival. And I'm thankful, and I told him this, I said, I'm so thankful that you was free that week. And I'm looking forward to him being back this September also, because he's coming back. And he's going to be one of the preachers that's going to be preaching one night during the Jubilee. And I got J.D. Walker, he's going to be. We haven't really discussed in what part that I want him to be, but I want him to be the moderator, or maybe I might be the moderator and he's going to be preaching every night. But he's going to be preaching every night with someone else. Now, we can either make it a success, or we can make it a failure. We can make it a failure to where it just flop, and where no one else will come out except the preachers that me and Brother J.D. has invited, and you. But if we want a success with it, then we'll have more other people to come. We'll have people around this community to come, because we need to let the people know that we are in a new transition, in a new beginning. And I am saying that I'm not belittling Brother Poovey. Brother Poovey, he done all he could when he was here. He stayed with God while he was here. And I cannot do this alone. And I'm going to need y'all's help. I'm going to need y'all's help in prayer. And we're going to have to muster up some faith. But I believe that this year can be one of the greatest years that's ahead of us. But we got to do it God's way. And please, don't leave here with a doubt about, well, we just don't have the finances. I know we don't. I know we don't have the finances to start something like that. But see, God didn't ask me to go check the finances. He didn't go and ask me to sit down with Sister Taylor and Brother Bill and discuss it with them and see how much money we have set on hand to where we could go and do something like this. He spoke and he said, I want you to do this. And I know. I've seen his hand move here. I've seen his hand move in other churches, in other preachers' lives, when they just said okay to God. That they didn't second question God. The very first time that he laid it on my heart, I've been praying ever since. And I haven't asked him, are you sure this is what you want me to do? I know that that's what he wants me to do. But I'm praying that he will give me the faith to carry it out his way. Now this coming Sunday, we're going to have a missionary come in Sunday. And he called me back right before the first of the year. He talked to me and he just asked me if he could come. He said he didn't ask for no money. I'd love to come and present my work to you. And I want to hear a little more about what he does. Because what little he did explain to me, he's helping churches. He's helping churches that are struggling in meeting their obligations and plus meeting and going out and helping within the neighborhood and visiting and teaching people how to go out and just visit the people and not just go out to someone the way you don't know the people or nothing like that. But he also tells us how we can go and what avenue we can take to find out who they are. Because a young man that's been coming, sitting right over here, Tommy Long. So he moved up here in just this past June. And he just got to riding around on his moped one day and searching out and see what the churches looked at and what they was all about. And he just didn't go and see a church and say, "Well, I don't know about that. No, he went in and he visited. And the first church that he went to was the church down here on 726. As soon as you keep on past Sandy Creek Road and go on down there, the church is on the right as you go. As soon as you're going through the crossroad down there. A black church. He went in down there. He didn't know there was. He went in there and he visited them. He said the first service, I mean, really, he liked it. It was one other white individual in there. So he went back the next week. The next week he went, one other white individual in there. He said, but the people in the church, he says, they want it, they weren't friendly to me. But it was like they were just like, they didn't know what to do. Because they have never had anyone else to come into the church that was white. Except the one that they had. And she was already married, and she was married to one of the members down there. So after that, he went up and visited Victory. And he didn't say much about that. And I didn't ask him nothing. I didn't ask him how he liked it or nothing like that. But he come down here when he come down here the first time, he said, "I like your preaching." And I said, "Thank you, sir." I said, "But I just don't feel like I'm a preacher and I just can't preach, but I do thank you for it." I said, "This is what God's called me to do, but I try to get up and do my very best, and a whole lot of times I stumble and I fall and I fall flat on my face." But then the next time he came was the other Wednesday night, I believe it was, or the other Sunday night or when it was. But when he come, then me and Brother Bill went up there to see where he lived at. And we found him, and we talked to him. And he told me, he said, "I love y'all singing." He said, "I really do. I love the songs that y'all sung, and I love the singing part." And he said, "Don't get me wrong, and I still love the preaching." And I asked him, when he said he loved the singing part, I said, "Well, do you sing?" He said, "Yeah, I'll sing a little." I said, "Do you play a piano?" he says, "No, I wish I could, but I can't." But I says, well, come on back. I said, nothing else, maybe me and you and Bill, and we'll get up and sing one. And he was aiming to come this morning, but he said he got down yesterday afternoon. He got sick and got a cold coming on, and then he woke up this morning and had a sore throat. So he said, I can't come today. And I said, all right. But he way talked, he's coming back. But see, we got to show ourselves friendly. And anytime that anybody, a new, somebody else that comes into the church that is not, has not been coming, or if they have ever, if they've visited one other time, we're going to have to go out of our way and welcome them. Because if we don't show ourselves friendly to them and act like that we care, they're not going to come back. That's the way life is today. People today are looking for someone else to care for them. And we know somebody that cares for them the more than we can ever care for them. And that's Jesus. And we must also not only just them, but the other people that we need to, when we go and when we invite, or when we just ask someone to come to church. And I don't want you to tell a story. I don't want you to tell no fib when you tell them. And I hope and pray when you do tell them, at least when I tell them, I know I'm telling the truth and everything. And I invite them, and I say, I'd love for you to come down there. They said, well, who's the preacher down there? I said, you know somebody? I can't directly call his name. I said, but he's a fine preacher. I said, but I'll tell you one thing. You can come down there and you can be blessed. We have a good time down there. We have a good time in serving the Lord. And I've told people before, I said, there's no way in God's word it tells me that I have to be dry. And we should not come in. I don't believe we should come into the house of God. We should not come into the house of God, and we should not go in the presence of anybody and not willing to say something about someone that loved us so much that he was willing to go and die for us. And willing to take our sin debt and place it upon his shoulders. I could not do that. I hope and pray that I would do that for my wife and my daughter. If it come right down to it, if it was for somebody to take my life, if it's between my life and their life, I hope and pray to God that I would be a man enough to say, you take my life. You let them go and you can have mine. See, I ain't been put to that test yet. We haven't been put to that test. But see, Jesus has already been put to that test. Jesus has been through everything that anybody else has ever done and ever went through and ever going to go through. He's already been through it. He's already been through all the agony and the pain. Well, he went to the cross. What did he do? They took him and they hung him on that pole. And they wrapped his arm around him. And they tied him there where he couldn't move. And what did he do? They took his whip. And they had taken
old, probably little hardened clay pots, and they'd broke them, and they'd tie them on the whip. It was nine on there, nine cattails on the wheel. I don't remember if it says how many times, I don't remember how many times it said they done it. But it says in the Old Testament that the scars that was put upon his back was like a furrow out in the field. And you know what a furrow is in a field? Where someone has took the tractor or took a mule and took the bottom plow, stuck it into the ground so deep that it would turn the ground over, and the only thing, you didn't see no brush, you didn't see no wild grass or no briars or nothing like that. You seen the ditch, the where the dirt was at. That ditch represent that deep, deep scar in the last that he took on his back. And looking at that dirt right there resembles the blood. He done all of that for me. And if it means that I can't get up here, and if I can't shout for glory, and if it means that I can't go to Kmart, if I can't go to the mall, and if I can't just, and somebody tells me, says, well, I tell you what, preacher, you know something? We had somebody saved yesterday. If it tells me one thing I can do, it tells me I can raise up my hand and I can point them toward heaven. And I says, praise the Lord. What are they going to do to me? Only thing they can do is escort me out. Then if I refuse to leave, what are they going to do to me? They just going to call the city police. What are they going to do to me then? They going to put me in jail somewhere. I don't go to jail. I know. I'm going to take it back. Why am I going to take it back? If I take it back, that means I'm denying Christ. If I take it back, I see everything that he done in Calvary for me was in vain. If I take it back, I don't believe over half of the New Testament. Because then I can't go in and believe any of Paul's writings. 14 books. 13 has got his name on one, has it? 14 books there that I've read, I believed in before. But if I deny them, I don't believe a thing Paul went through. I don't believe a thing that Paul said. I don't believe a thing of it. I don't believe it when Paul says, when I die. But deny Christ on that one occasion, what's going to happen? I'm not going to heaven. You say, preacher, that's a strong statement. That's the way I believe. I don't believe a true Christian can deny Christ. Anytime. Yeah, we may have some doubts about maybe some of the things that he says in the book. But I don't believe a true Christian will ever deny. Because if ever denied, they've never met him.
in the first place. Like I said, this Sunday, Van Wood is going to be here. At least he's supposed to be. And then March the 29th, March the 30th, March the 31st, and then April the 1st, Brother Noel Fry is going to be with us. You say, well, preacher, you're getting to the point now you're having too many things going on. You're having too many revivals. You're having too many preaching services. Well, hey, I think that's what church is all about.
Amen. Absolutely.
Ain't that what serving God? That's the only way we're going to grow in Him. Yeah. And we can't just sit back and say, we ain't going to have one a year. We ain't going to have one revival a year. Then we ought to just sit back and say, well, I'll tell you what, we're going to have one service a week. Well, I don't know about y'all, but I need to be revived every so often. But I'm going to get stale. When I get stale, y'all don't want me around. But that's what I've got, and I know some other things that may come up and everything, and something else I want y'all to think about.
Say nothing if nobody was interested.
Yeah. But which we can do.